Let's open our Bibles back up to the Song of Solomon. God willing, tonight we'll be in the third chapter. And we thank the Lord so richly and sweetly. We know that as God has brought us through this and He encourages us, this precious, wonderful book, this song, this love story was not something that was written in a sense and long ago and just for long ago. Yes, this was written even in ages past. This was at the time that God was planning the plan for His Son. Son, you will have a bride. Son, it's not good for you to live alone. And we thank God that Paul's gospel has opened the depths of this truth and unleashed it to us, a better thing. Yea, the exceeding great precious promises. And I thank the Lord that we feast on these things. And I'm grateful to God as we began this study. We saw quickly on, she calls out to him, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. I thank the Lord that as we go on with God, as you've seen and come to the revelation that Jesus Christ is going to have a bride that will be out from among the camp, out from among even the people of God, the rib portion taken from the body. I thank God that at that moment when we started to see those things and the Holy Ghost began to deal with us in each and every one of our lives, it became, Lord, kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. Those are the deep things. That's the intimacy of the Word of God. Only the Holy Ghost can bring that to us. And I thank God so richly that that's, again, how it all begins for each and every one of us, as it did with this precious Shulamite and the lover of her soul. But as we've seen, as we've gone through these just a couple chapters, she's had a battle right from day one. And the battle has been always getting distracted, going after things that we think are good, we think might even be acceptable, but when we're caught up into that, we miss the very complete and perfect will of God. We saw early on that as the Lord began to deal with her heart, very quickly she was concerned with everyone else. It's wonderful, brothers and sisters, and we should have a heart for every life to win God's best. But in that, we know that He's dealing with us individually. We know that the time of the wooing of the bride out from among them is going on now. And it cannot be missed. It cannot be that I am getting caught up into somebody else's garden or being distracted as the example in the Word of God, as Martha doing such a good thing, but yet she was trying to distract Mary. And God, praise the Lord, His Son said, let her alone. She has chosen the better part. So we're thankful to God that He encourages us through this. And as we move through this journey, we need to recall each prior study. Now, brothers and sisters, only the Holy Ghost is going to do that. He's going to quicken us as we get together. But as especially the last study as we move into each week. And as we left off in chapter 2, let us remember, she had just asked the Lord. She just asked, in a sense, the bridegroom. She said, Lord, turn from me. The intensity of your love is just too much. And what we got to understand about that is there is a shared responsibility of suffering together with Him. The separation that comes as we go on with Him has overwhelmed her. And she says to Him, like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. And that word Bether means separation. And she tells him, you go ahead and separate from me. This trial is too much. And I will come to you when this trial passes. We'll get back at it after this real deep thing goes away. Now, we all know this. And God help us to truly be sincere before the Lord. We've all been there. Yes, we have. And at times we've withdrawn because the heat of a trial. We have despaired of our own lives. There's been times we've wanted to quit. Maybe we have. Maybe through a trial or temptation. But I'll tell you what, when we refuse the sufferings with Christ, we are always in a worse place when we remove ourselves from that beloved fellowship. And so here we go with that introduction. Let's hit chapter 3. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loves. I sought him, but I found him not. So now by night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loves. Now there are some wondrous things to note right off the bat here that explains very clearly her state that we're going to see in the next couple verses. Notice here first, she wants him now. But by refusing to suffer with him, by telling him to remove himself from her, notice where she's at. She is on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. Now, brothers and sisters, this bedtime, it speaks of night. She hasn't removed herself from this trial. She hasn't, in a sense, gone to any better lighted place. She's still in the dark. She's still in that nighttime. If anything, it's even worse for her, as we see here. But it's something that we need to understand, that when we refuse the sufferings with Christ, we're not gaining on anything in our lives. We're actually putting ourselves in more of disrepair. And notice here, it is no longer our bed. Remember how wondrously she said that in chapter 1, verse 16? She says, our bed, our chambers, our house. Notice what she says here, by night on my bed. It's changed. There's not this sharing. Again, it's my soul loveth. Brothers and sisters, what this is getting at is she's still approaching the Lord on her own terms. Again, it's not our bed. It's not his desire towards me. She is still trying to be somewhat controlling and direct the show. Now, I know no one in here understands that. I know you've never told God what to do. I know that you have just been compliant and surrendered since day one. But these ones that haven't, you can listen on here for the next few minutes. But I am so thankful to God that he so sweetly tells us, I'll tell you what, here's what the result of that is going to be. See, it sounded so good as it starts out here. Lord, I want this intimacy with you, but because it's her bed and her love, what does it say? I sought him, but I find him not. See, let me tell you something. He's always there to be found in his will. He's always there to be found when we draw nigh unto him. Amen? So obviously, if he's not being found, there's something that's gone awry. And I'll tell you one thing. It's never Jesus, because he doesn't move. And it's so wonderful. And brothers and sisters, she doesn't find him. And may God encourage us in this. There will never be the bridal fellowship in our lives, no matter how much we know this message, until we are willing to go unto him. And that's the truth. Lots of people can know a lot of scripture. Lots of people can quote things, brothers and sisters, and I'm so thankful for anything we can quote. But God is in what you live. What's living in you? What is your first love? What is your desire? And God help us to truly want his will to be done. That our life, brothers and sisters, would be by grace, the very power of his might. And I'll tell you what, that will always entail being separated unto him. It's going to be just like when Abraham went unto God. You know where he went? He went not knowing where he was going. Do you know that? That's the place where you're always going to be with God. It's going to be by faith. Amen? Well, what is faith not? It's not sight. Faith isn't sight. Faith isn't feeling. Faith isn't, well, my gut tells me this. A lot of people try to move that way, but that's not faith. Here's your faith. This is it. The faith of the Word of God. It is. It's the faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God, the Word of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So we're thankful to know this, and we can know this absolute without any doubt, brothers and sisters. The reason she does not find him is because she is not going in his will. We understand this because these things that she's saying here, they sound so good, but they're missing the mark of truly being separated together unto him. to suffer with Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, the sufferings of Christ, that's his engagement gifts to us right now, to suffer together with him. And it is. It really is. The Word of God calls them the due benevolence. It's not only given on our behalf to believe in him, but to suffer for his name's sake. It's so wonderful. That's the readied wife. That's the one, praise God, that truly goes after him. His greatest treasure that he could give us, brothers and sisters, is the trying of our faith. Just as that sweet Rebecca, she only heard of this wonderful love that could be hers. She only heard of the Master's Son, but it was so rich, it was so wonderful. She believed so much that the jewels were placed upon her. Are those jewels real to you today? Do you have the bracelets upon you and the earrings? And I'm serious, not just something that's a fantasy to you. The Holy Ghost makes it real. The Holy Ghost makes this message more real than anything we see. The Holy Ghost makes the coming of the Lord more definite than anything I know. He's coming. Yes, he's coming again. And I thank God so richly that he tells us these things. But really it is, will you go and will you keep going no matter what your lot and no matter the cost? Boy, do we need the grace of God. Amen. Thank the Lord for that, because we know he's the only one that abides faithful. But here is the proof now where she's been. Let's go to verse 2. She says, now I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broad ways, and I will seek him who my soul loves. I sought him, but I found him not. Oh my. I see a pattern resulting, don't you? She's not finding him. I think it all started with, I will rise now. What do you think? I think I feel like going after you now, God. Huh? Now praise the Lord. I believe he's bringing it down right where the rubber hits the road. And where she's been is just like that prophet Elijah under that juniper tree. Lord, let me die. See, when we don't eat and we don't arise and we just lie in the bed, pretty much all you want to do is die. You just want to give it up. I've been there, and that's not a good place, brothers and sisters. But see, now she thinks she's ready. And she says, I will rise. I am going to seek out who my soul loves. Her love for him is precious, brothers and sisters. But there's something really to beware of in our life. And that's the word I. I comes and eventually gets you to I. And that's the truth. And I don't think it doesn't. I want you to remember so sweetly what happened to Peter when he said, oh Lord, I will never forsake you. Oh, they might, but I won't. And I'll tell you what, that's coming here as well. She's going to look everywhere for him, but I found him not. And now this once this again confuses a lot of people because, I've visited with someone on this. He says, well, that really doesn't make sense because it says, seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Well, again, brothers and sisters, it's going to be according to the word and the will of God. And when we're not finding him, brothers and sisters, we're not going to the throne of grace. Amen? I'll tell you what, he's always found there. That's why he says, come boldly to the throne of grace. See, when I go in my might and my strength or go trying to tell God this is the way he's going to do it, I'm not at the throne of grace. I'm somewhere very far from that place. I'm not near that place. But in Jesus' name, in just a moment, that can change. In that wonderful humility of the grace of God to say, Lord, you know what? This is your will. This is, again, I'm this little lump of clay, and praise God, you're the potter. And Lord, make me, mold me after thy will. And I thank God that we can come to him and truly begin to truly have complete confidence and again, appreciation and peace and rest in His love for us. That, you know what? He won't withhold anything good from our life. That He will perfect that which concerns me. That, Lord, You've told me that I know that all things work together for good to them that love God. This isn't something that's a maybe. But I do need to surrender because, Lord, You told me it's not going to be the way most often. And pretty much anymore, it's not even the way that I remotely think. And that's why I've been praying more and more all the time. Lord, don't let me think. I just want to meditate. I want to meditate on Scripture. I want to meditate on the Word of God. I want to meditate as these things come to my life on the Word of God that meets every need. On the Word of God that fights every battle. On the Word of God that nothing can stand against. And to be patient and wait, praise God, on the mighty hand of God. Yes. But see, she thinks that she's ready. And she says, I will, I will, I will. But she's going to look everywhere for Him and she's not going to find Him. And I'll tell you what, when we go in our own strength, the mindset of I will do it my way, notice where it takes her to look for Him. She looks for Him in the broadways. She looks for Him in the streets. What this is saying is she's going to the popular places, basically to find the intimacy with God. Brothers and sisters, the intimacy with the Lord is always going to be found alone with Him. The crowded places, the fanfare, the smoke and mirrors, the spectacle, the popular, that's where our fleshly worship wants to find Him. But it's not going to be found there. Love worship is hidden away with Him. It's the truth. And we know these things. And the reason we know these things is the Word of God shows us these things. Is the Lord separates you out. He separated, again, Abraham out. He separated Rebekah out. He separated Isaac out. He separated Jacob out. He separated Joseph out. He separated Paul out. He separated the disciples out. Do you see the pattern? He's going to separate you out. If you're going to go unto Him, you will go out from among the camp. That's the way it's going to be. And God is drawing us at this time. And truly, the question is always, will you go? And I thank the Lord. We can say, Lord, I will go. Oftentimes, folks think, well, that was just a one-time thing. Brothers and sisters, I'm finding out it's moment by moment. It really is, and I thank the Lord as we're challenged on these things. But see, the first time I said it, He heard it. And as He says in the Word of God, I've come for thy words. He's a lover, and He'll pursue you. And He chastens His sons, and I thank the Lord that He does. And as this sister, as we started here, she said, well, Lord, can I just have a break? You know, can I just have a little downtime? Well, look where downtime got her. Well, I want to find You now, Lord. And I'm going to find You on my terms, but it wasn't going to be that way. But don't think that He didn't want her. He wants her more than anything. He wants that love and affection more than anything. But brothers and sisters, the way that she's going to find Him right now, out into the popular places, in the wide places, in the spectacular places, it's not going to be there. It's not a walk of feeling and experience. It's a walk of faith. And a walk of faith is going to take you through deserts. It's going to take you through prisons. It's going to take you through furnaces. It's going to always be in the places we're going to be alone with Him. Because why? He says, you're my workmanship. See, brothers and sisters, it is so wonderful. His train does not run across our tracks. It's going to be Paul's gospel. And I really want to get down into that. See, a lot of times now, I think I'm visiting, praise God, with people that really are encouraged to hear the deep things of God. But it's not going to just be bits and pieces. It's not going to be, well, we'll talk about this, but that's not going to be here. It's not, I'm going to shelter one part of my life out of this whole equation. It's going to be, do you love me? It's all of me. Just like this wedding with these two, by the grace of God, that'll happen on this coming Saturday. I don't believe there's any contracts coming out. I don't want to be part of that. I believe it's what's mine is yours and yours is mine. And matter of fact, it's all ours, isn't it, together. And that's the whole thing with the Lord. We're His. And from the moment we believed in Him, praise the Lord, He bought us with His blood. We're not our own. And I thank God how he directs our life so sweetly. And brothers and sisters, I'm so thankful, as Paul said, I'm a prisoner of his love. I'm a prisoner of his love. We'll never get away from that love. I think about my own children. I know from there's been times, many times in their life, they would have loved to have gotten away from their daddy's love. But it wasn't ever going to happen. And I'm just a natural dad. There wasn't anything that was going to get in between that. And by the grace of God, there will never be. And there will always be a pursuing. Well, Dad, when do you think you're going to be finished raising us? Never. It's an ongoing process. And I said, no, the Lord's got you. But always be your dad. And always care. And always be there. Things will kind of turn down just a little as we go along, as you understand. But it'll never shut off. Not by the grace of God. Because I love you too much. How much more so our Heavenly Father. Praise God. So we thank him for this. And we know he pursues us to the ends of the earth. And we thank the Lord for it. Because we know that we at times believe not, but he abides faithful. Now, brothers and sisters, this once again is magnifying the disappointment and despair when we go in our own strength and determination. God help us not to do that. We are going to get disappointed at times. We're going to have trials that hit us that are going to be very difficult. We're going to have our closest brothers and sisters, even in the Lord, they're going to hurt us at times. They're going to say things that maybe do things that you just couldn't even imagine. But where is our confidence to begin with? Was your confidence ever in man whose breath is in his nostril? Or did God say, put your confidence in my son? Amen? Now, I have confidence, praise God, in any Christian because the life of Christ lives in them. But not confidence in that man or that woman. My confidence is in the abounding hope of the life that lives in them. I know nothing's hard for God. I know nothing's impossible for God. I know if he be for me, who could be against you? I know that he will perform the good work which he has begun. I believe the Lord for that. And I want to have faith to believe God that in him, praise the Lord, mighty is our God. So in that, brothers and sisters, I can say it is well. But see, seeking God on our own convenient terms, seeking God where we want to find him, let's get it straight, it's not going to happen. But let's also understand this. Embracing the Lord fully is against every natural instinct there could ever be. Did you know that? Oh, yes. You weren't, in a sense, well, I should just say this. You're born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Let's just say it as it is. In my flesh and in myself, I could do no good thing. There's none that come after him. There's none that doeth righteous. No, not one. We know that. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. Now, so it's against even our very nature to, again, embrace the Lord, let alone to embrace him fully. So in other words, it's got to be completely his grace. The apprehending of our Lord must completely be the grace of God. Amen? Were you not saved by grace? Yes, you were. You were saved by grace. Grace found you. Amen, it did. And you embrace grace. Praise the Lord. By grace are we saved through faith. Thank the Lord. And from that point on, it never changed. Every bit of growth, every bit of praise, every bit of testimony that's ever been grown in your life is all because of the grace of God. Because the Father will never magnify anything but his Son. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that so beautiful? There's no boasting but in him, in the cross. There's no boasting but in the grace of God. That's why it's so beautiful we can come together and testify of the same powerful life that lives in every one of God's children. Isn't that wonderful? That's why the testimony is never about me. It's about Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's about Christ in us. Hallelujah. That's what's so beautiful as we come to magnify Him. And whenever we start to magnify a man or lift up flesh, we know God would never be pleased with that. Be the most putrid thing there would ever be, our stinking self-righteousness. See, brothers and sisters, we have to really understand most often when we ever walk with God, He's carrying you. Amen? Isn't that how you're coming out of the wilderness? Leaning up on Him. Really look that up, and I believe you'll finally get to carrying me out. I've fallen upon Him. Praise God. So what wilderness do you think He's going to put you in? One that you really can't handle. I thought I'd get an amen. Amen. My heart goes out to me and you too. But see, once again, when we do not understand that we are merely that clay upon the wheel, and that clay is all at His doing and His discretion. Isn't it beautiful? Can't you rest tonight in that? Just have such peace that it's His hand upon our lives. That again, this is His workmanship, our lives. That by the grace of God, I am what I am. And brothers and sisters, when we really begin to apprehend that, we'll really begin to apprehend Him. And we only apprehend Him by the grace of God. We'll never apprehend Him in our own strength. Now, let's go on to verse 3. She says, "There the watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, 'Saw ye Him whom my soul loves?'" Now, I have to tell you something, and I hate to say this, but it's really getting sad. See, you go out into the Broadway places and the fanfare, and the watchmen always going to find you, because I'll tell you what, that's who the watchmen are watching for. They're right there to find you every single time. And she asks him, "Have you seen whom my soul loves?" I'll just read the very first part of verse 4. And this gives you your answer. "It was but a little while that I passed from them, but I found Him whom my soul loves." We'll stop right there. Now, brothers and sisters, you see these watchmen. They represent preachers and teachers that know nothing about the bridegroom. They have no clue how to find Him. These are ones that will tickle your ears. It will probably be in a place, as it is this Broadway and in the streets, a place that you won't suffer much. Maybe these Broadways are religious organizations. Maybe they're, as we know, some of these mega places, TV things and all that. How about even offshoots of Grace and Glory and Paul's gospel preaching, professing to preach all of God's precious Paul's gospel, yet in reality, they give just bits and pieces and starve the people. We need to pray. But for the grace of God, there go I. My heart is heavy as the Lord was bringing this. And I know that there isn't much time. We see these things starting to come to pass. And as the Lord says, look up. And brothers and sisters, God help us to be ones that are found with our lamps full of oil. And not thinking we're going to a wedding, having a lamp that has no oil. The Lord encourage us on in these things. And there is a pressing on. And I pray that we would be a prayerful people. And to pray for God's precious people everywhere. And especially for people that, again, have been sidelined and maybe thrown some different things. And I hear it often, "Oh, it's just too hard to go to Living Waters." Brothers and sisters, he said, endure hardness as a good soldier. I pray that we wouldn't want to make it hard on one another. I understand that we are diamonds, oftentimes cutting diamonds. I get that. But I would rather cut or be used as a diamond that cuts you by giving you the sweet word of God. And let that do it. Amen. But oftentimes there are things that we can do, whether it was out of ignorance, maybe it was intentional. But God help us to press on. Amen. That our love would abound the more and more. Not that our reservation and, well, I'll tell you what, you know, I like them. I mean, I love them, but I don't like them. I'd rather just stay on the love part and not really worry about the other and believe Christ as he said, you know, we're one in him. But there's a tragedy, brothers and sisters, that we're reading about right now. Most unfortunately, that turn away never get away from it. They don't. And in that place, you'll never find the bridegroom. But I'll tell you what, I just thank the Lord for this because she passed them by and she found him. Let's go on and read verse 4. It said, it was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. Now we're getting somewhere. This is where it begins to really get exciting. See, she had to get out of the Broadway in the popular way. She had to go without the camp. And there he was all the time. Immediately she finds him, doesn't she? It wasn't a hard thing. He was there all the time waiting for her. And how wonderful this is. I held him. See, brothers and sisters, she didn't get down there and say, oh, I'm so sorry. This is love. This is love. Listen to this. This is the bride and the groom. It's time for embracing. He's over it. Huh? Don't be one that sits there and as they've come back to the kingdom like that prodigal son. And what was his first instinct? Oh, if I can just kind of hang out here, and maybe in the pig pen, or just be around and be a servant. No. What's he standing there with? He's got the coat, the ring. Oh, honey, we've had a feast waiting for you all the time. It's time to celebrate. And here's the ring. Oh, that self-righteous son that was there with the dad, oh, he had a big checklist for that brother. Well, let's see. You're going to have to complete this course again and do that over again. And after you've said this so many times and repented of, starting to sound familiar? That's what religious works do. And they're dead. You know what the Lord's saying? Embrace me. Just embrace me. Hold me. I've never let you go. Just embrace me. Isn't that sweet? I just love it. I love that there wasn't any groveling here. This was, okay, Lord, you want me to get over this, don't you? You want to get on to love, don't you? Well, praise God. He wants to enjoy his love. He just wants us to apprehend him. And here's how sweet it is, because she says, I brought him. Hallelujah. I brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. Here comes the vessel that adds to the usefulness of the husband. Now, this mother in the chamber, well, that conceived us all, what is that? That's grace. You want to get to the intimate place with Jesus Christ? You're going to go to the mother of it all. You're going to go to grace. That's why he would go there with her. That's why he was so thankful to go to that intimate place. The growth of the bridal relationship will always be in the chamber of grace. It's the intimate place. And that's why the Word of God says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. The simplicity of the gospel of Christ, it's amazing, isn't it? And as it just continues to unfold, as the Holy Ghost brings us through this, the story never changes. It's the grace of God. And how beautiful this is to us as Jesus gives us this rest. And this is the resting in perfect peace, and the perfect peace that passes all understanding. This is the house, this chamber of having this in 2 Corinthians 9:8. I know you know this by memory, but I just love to read it. If you'd turn there, it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you." Isn't that wonderful? Do you see how much grace we need? We need all, don't we? Because we're weak. We're the weakest of the weak. And that's why God's not going to withhold a thing for us. He says, you know what? "I'm able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may superabound to every good work." Who's doing all that? Grace. Who's Jesus, full of grace and truth? He performs the good work which he's begun, doesn't he? Isn't that wonderful how we can rest in the Lord? And to thank him so richly that, "Jesus, I can rely on you. I can put complete confidence in you. That I just rest. I do. I get at your feet. I just worship you because of your grace. I'm so thankful for this wonderful word of your grace." And oh my, what does that do? Let's turn over to Acts 20, verse 32. And Paul concluding, as he's closing up some of this wonderful ministry that the Lord has given him, he says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." And we know that that word sanctified is set apart unto him. Praise the Lord. And thinking about, who is he speaking to? The brethren. He's speaking to ones that know the Lord. He's speaking to ones that love the Lord. But you know what he's commending them to? To more grace. More and more of the word of his grace. To build you up even more for him. We're God's very inheritance. That building, praise the Lord. And I thank God for the ones that have encouraged me so over the years in these things. But this building is the same building that you'll find even in Revelation, of the building of that new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. It lends itself right in to that bride adorned descending from heaven. She's finished, fully finished, complete in him, because she's taken fully the word of his grace. I think of Esther, so precious, brothers and sisters, how she was encouraged. "Don't take a thing but what the keeper of the women gives to you. Don't take anything else. Don't add anything else." See how important the Holy Ghost is in our life. And what does the Holy Ghost, what does he only give? He takes the things of Christ. He ministers only of Christ. And he shows them unto you. He gives them to you. And praise God, I'm so thankful, because the Lord already told me. He said, "Well, honey, you're blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ." "Well, you mean, Lord, I'm a little Lord of all? That guy you were talking about there in Galatians 4:1? That's me?" "Oh, yes. Now are you a son of God? And as a child of God, you're an heir of God. But we can grow on in grace. We can grow on in the word of his grace. And my goodness, and should be. We can be. Praise the Lord. Joint heirs together with Jesus Christ. If so be that ye suffer together with me." Now here we are back in our precious study. And this is what this sister is facing. "Will you suffer together with me, honey? Will you go? Will you get out of what you think is the popular and convenient way? The way that maybe, a lot of daughters have said this is the way? Or, you know, there's been daughters that have done virtuously. There's been many virgins. But he said, now, honey, I'm smitten with you. Thou excellest them all. This is our time. Praise the Lord. Think of this courtship. Think of the courtship that God gives us. And He wants with us with His Son. And this is what we have. And by grace, praise God. And we'll close this in this fifth verse of the Song of Solomon tonight. Here's how she lets everybody know once again. She no longer is back on the shoreline just with her ankles in the water. She launched out deep real quick once again. And here's what she says. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake love till he please. This is the second time she says this. And again, this is referring to the beauty of the glorious young male gazelle. That's the roe. And the hinds speak of the hinds of the field speak of the feminine doe. Don't you disturb love. Not my love, but more exact, don't disturb our love. Praise God, she's back at it. She's back in that chamber of grace. She doesn't want to be disturbed. The do not disturb sign is out in front of the door. She's saying, respect it. Get in your own garden. I don't want to be disturbed anymore. I am with Him. Praise God, His desire is for me. And all I can think about is, praise the Lord, if we'll just stay with the grace of God, oh, what full glory will be. Amen. Think of the times we've been so concerned about everybody else. I am concerned about your life. I want you to know that. And I know the concern is the same for my life as we go on with the Lord. I want you to win His best. But I know it's the word of His grace that's going to do it. You're not going to do it for me, and I'm not going to do it for you. It's going to be this message. It's going to be receiving this precious word in the encouragement by His Spirit. Amen. That's what's going to perform the good work which He's begun. That's what's going to finish, praise God, completely, and have us, as Paul say, praise God, not unto me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. This is the love. This is that precious time that God has given us right now to go after Him fully. And I thank God so richly, brothers and sisters, that we know these things have fought and come against us at times. But understand this, the Lord had to allow every one of these testings. The Lord had to allow every one of the temptations that you are faced with in your life. That's what that old devil's all about. But praise God, it's only to prove His love that by His grace, He's given you. It's to prove, praise the Lord, the faithfulness of Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what's so beautiful about this. Is the Lord has already told us the victory has been won. We just walk in these before ordained good works. Amen? That He said, that just walk in them. Take a little walk of faith. Take that walk of faith. There is nothing that has come before you in your life or that will ever come before you that God has not appointed for you, that He has not already won the victory for you. As He said, that I've truly, as He said, He knows this, He lived this, He died for this for you. God help us to have faith for that. And then we just walk. We walk mightily. And I thank the Lord. You know, He's been dealing with me about, even on Sunday, if the Lord tarry, about that precious unknown door. That was the final sermon that Brother Hill gave. Oh, that unknown, that unfamiliar door. It's a path to a new inheritance. That's my whole life. That's my whole life. That's your whole life. Because you know what? I don't know whither I'm going. But I know one thing. I'm seeking. Hallelujah. Oh, that heaven. That wonderful builder and maker who's God. That's what we're seeking after. And I thank God that we know that He will perform the good work which He's begun. Let's stand and be dismissed.